Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Startup, Brooklyn boys. Startup, Brooklyn boys. Startup, they making noise. Startup.
Episode 275 of the Brooklyn Boys Podcast. Hello, David Brody.
Hello, Scary Jones. 275. That's a big number, I guess.
It's a tremendous number.
Play that number.
275. Has anyone ever played the episode that we were up to that day in the lotto and did it come
out? We joke about it, but no one's ever said they played it and won.
How crazy would it be? We should look at all of the state's lottos all around the country and see which lottery maybe even come close to 275.
Well, there's 100.
There's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah. All right. Anyway.
Every town's got a, you know, but good luck. If we get 10%.
Yeah. Give us our money.
Hey, I want to send an early shout out to a slice.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I sell stuff on Facebook, and I have some Facebook stories, which I'll give you later. And by the way, I'd like to apologize to you, Scary, before I forget, that I'm like an hour and 20 minutes late to do this podcast.
Yeah, what's up with that? You have me sitting here just pulling my pud for an hour and a half.
And I can see you weren't fixing the pile of papers on your table in that time.
No, I was not. And had you turned on the camera an hour and a half ago, you'd have seen me pulling my pud.
Oh, boy.
I'm kidding.
So something happened. I went for a minor medical thing. I'll explain later, but it went off the rails. And some of the stuff I'm going to tell you.
On a crazy train?
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so I'm going to tell you the story. You'll be like, you're embellishing that. Nope. At some point, I thought I was going to die because the person told me to do something that would kill me. But I'll tell you that later, I promise. But I want to shout out, going back to what I said, I sold something on Facebook Marketplace, as I often do. And I meet the person in the parking lot that I choose to meet people. And I have a few that I choose, but this one was near the area where I thought I was going to be. So I said, oh, let's meet in this parking lot on the side. I tell them where to meet.
Hold on. You have a regular meeting spot for people that you don't want to know where you live?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know who this person was.
It's almost like your spot. Like, meet me at our spot. Like, that's our spot.
Meet me at our spot. Yeah. So I say, do me a favor. When you get there, I want you to pull around the fast food facility, right? And park on the left side. There's an open area, park there. And he tells me what kind of car he's in. For the sake of this conversation, I'll say it was a green RAV4. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I I pull in. Now, by the way, we had a whole communication about, you know, he haggled me for the price.
Right.
He wanted the $5 less. And I was like, oh, it's fine. But not when we got there. This is beforehand. We arranged on a price. We went back and forth. So we had a bunch of communications in Facebook Messenger, whatever. I verified his profile, that he's a legitimate person. And when I get there, there's a green SUV parked on the right side when you first pull in, over by the trash dumpster, like where this fast food place puts their crap.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, that can't be him, because I said, meet me on the left. And I see on the left, there's another green SUV. So I'm like, all right, that must be him
odds?
Over there.
What are the odds?
So I pull around and I park next to the green SUV, and it's not a RAV4, it's just similar. And he's not in the car. No one's in it. So I back up, and all of a sudden I see the car that was parked by the dumpster pull out and pull up next to me. So the guy gets out, and I said, hey, are you, his nickname, because he has a name that's a less Americanized name. So he goes by Nemo, like Finding Nemo.
Uh-huh.
He says, yeah, I'm Nemo. I said, oh, hey, Nemo, nice to meet you. I'm David. And I give him the merchandise, and I said, why were you parked over by the garbage dumpster?
Yeah.
So he says, well, I didn't know if you were a legitimate person, so I wanted to see you pull up first.
Oh my God.
But, you know, so he was hiding behind the dumpster.
Dude,
like,
that's
to make sure I was
creepy.
Legit.
What are the odds? I just think maybe he was wearing a Brooklyn Boys t-shirt, you know?
Scary, did I tell you the story?
No.
Okay. Well, that's the funny part.
What?
I said, well, I'm legitimate. I said, you know, so he says, I said, you know, you could have looked at my profile picture. You could have seen. And he says, well, holy shit. You're David Brody. I said, yeah, that's my name.
Wait, get the hell. Well, no. Okay.
So it gets better. I said, yeah, he goes, I'm a slice. So I said, it's so nice to meet you. He goes, I had no idea who you were. That's why I was hiding behind the dumpster. I didn't know if you were a legit person. The name didn't ring a bell. He says, look, and he unzips his coat.
No,
and he's
shut
wearing
up.
The FU, that's scary. He's wearing the FU Abe 70s. I'll send you the picture. I'm going to send you the picture right now. He's wearing the FU Abe 77 shirt. And I said, come on, man, you had to know it was me. He said, absolutely not. This is my Sunday get shit done around the house shirt. And I happen
get
to be
the
wearing
up.
The shirt today.
He's wearing a Brooklyn Boys t-shirt.
So I said, come on. He goes, I swear to God, I wear this shirt. My wife yells at me all the time because I wear this shirt all the time. And I'll download the picture. Huh. Hold on. It's in the
Wait message. A second. Hold on. This guy did business with you.
Yep.
And he knew your name was Brody or David. And you guys have spoken before. So I feel like he might have wore the shirt on purpose knowing it was you.
No, because he was hiding behind the dumpster. He's hiding behind the dumpster.
You mean to tell me this was like a coincidental, random moment where Slice, you caught him wearing our shirt, and he had no clue he was coming to meet you, David Brody, to do the transaction.
He says he wears it every Sunday.
Have you ever? Okay, so do you have David or Brody in your name that you sell?
Yes, it's my name. It's my Facebook account.
He definitely knew it was you. You're David Brody.
Scary. The other guy I sold something to a couple of weeks ago, he didn't know it was me.
This guy knew. No, this guy listens to the podcast, and he's a Slice. Yeah.
He was wearing a Yankees hat. If he knew, why wouldn't wear a Yankee hat?
No,
but
here's the thing. This guy.
He didn't look at my name.
Clearly knew.
He didn't look at my name. He didn't pay attention.
He didn't pay attention that David Brody was selling him merch?
Nope.
Okay, so
no,
then,
because he would have mentioned it in the chat. He would have said something like, hey, I'm legitimate. You know, I know who you are. I'm a fan. Said nothing. Nothing. He said his wife liked the thing and he wanted to buy the thing.
Okay,
and
he bought the thing.
Amount of money.
Right.
He talked me down in price.
Were you talking on the phone or no?
No, in the chat.
In the chat.
Yeah, in Facebook Messenger. They swore.
But aren't you David? But you said you're David Brody in the chat.
No, I don't say I'm David Brody. That's the name on the chat.
Right.
If you don't pay attention to it, if you're just buying shit that you'd never think I'd be selling.
Yeah, but so he knew he was going to meet you, so he wore the Abe 77 Brooklyn Boys t-shirt.
He did not know he was going to meet me, otherwise he wouldn't have been behind the dumpster hiding.
He didn't, but he knew. Wow.
He saw my car. He knows what kind of car I have because I talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
He's like, I saw your car, so I knew it was you. Like, I, because I said to him,
yeah,
I'll be in a black car, a Dodge. I told him I'd be pulling up in a black Dodge.
A Dodge. So, he knows. He's a slice. He knows you drive a Dodge.
No, no, no. I told him, no. I told him as I was, when he said, I'm at the place, I said, great. What kind of car do you have? It was, he was already there when I told him what kind of car I had. And I said, I'll be in a black Dodge. Mm. And he said, I'm in a green SUV. In a green RAV4, and I said, okay, great. So I knew he didn't know my car beforehand. I only told him what kind of car when I said, great, I'll be there in like 8 minutes because I'm driving in that direction. I'll be there. I'm in a black car, a black Dodge.
Now, did he pay you more for the merch knowing that it's you?
He should have, yeah.
I mean, this is David Brody selling it to him.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, actually, did you give him a break because he was a slice wearing a t-shirt?
No, I had already lowered the price for him because he haggled me.
So he didn't try and do it on the spot the same way the guy from the e-scooter got the e-scooter off me?
No, because I don't tolerate that. Once he knew it was me, he knew he wasn't going to haggle me.
Oh, yeah, there's
I do have a reputation, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, so shout out to Nemo.
What's up? You found Nemo.
We took a picture together. We found Nemo. Yeah.
That's great.
So, yeah.
So, how about that?
Well, your scooter guy knew who you are.
Yeah, that's true, but we knew that going in. I don't know. I think this guy's a closet fan, knew it was you the whole time, wore the shirt to impress you, and then pretended he didn't know you.
That would make him a closet fan. I'm not sure what that means.
I mean, a closet fan, meaning like, I'm going to pretend like I don't.
Okay, then he was an undercover fan.
Undercover, yeah.
All right, well,
Nemo,
if you're listening, you can DM Skiri. Oh, by the way, Skiri,
I like Nemo. Yeah, what were you going to ask me, Brody?
I was going to ask you if you saw the DM I forwarded you.
When did you yes.
So I want to, can we address that here? So
yeah,
Skiri on the last episode, Skiri mentioned that they took my $1.06 comment and story and told it on the air without me being there.
That is correct.
Now, if you heard Skiri's audio, go back and listen. So, it's Friday, whatever Friday, the last Friday of October was. So the 27th, 8th, 9th, whatever that was, go listen to the Elvis Duran on Demand channel. And it's around the 90-minute mark, like it's at the almost end of the show, last hour of the show, and he tells the story and he mangles all the facts, and I'm not there to defend myself, and everyone in the room is sort of like, typical Brody, whatever. But so Skiri says to me, dude, you got to listen to it. Elvis gave us a big plug for the podcast. He did a great job plugging the podcast.
Yeah.
So I said, I'll listen to it. That's great. If Elvis plugged the podcast, that'll be new listeners. In fact, last week, Skiri started the podcast by saying, welcome all the new listeners. So I'm like, wow, this must have been some great plug. And Elvis is great at selling things. If he's talking up our podcast,
yeah,
then it must have been great. Probably got a ton of new listeners. So I go listen to the clip. And he says, so Skiri, you guys have a new episode coming out? And Skiri goes, yeah, we're recording today, Friday. And so Elvis goes, oh, great. So where can they find the podcast? And Skiri goes, oh. And then Elvis says, what are you eating? Because Elvis was working from his home studio and Skiri was in front of Elvis's gold mic or his mic. I don't know if it's gold anymore, but it's in front of his mic.
And well, it's now brown and rusted because I spit into it.
Yeah. So Skiri goes, oh, I'm eating corn nuts. And then Daniela Gandhi says, it's my fault. I gave it to him. And he goes, oh, I love corn nuts. They're so good. Blah, blah, blah. And then Elvis says, Skiri, you don't realize you spit on my microphone. You got to get your own microphone. I don't want you spitting on my microphone. You always do it all the time. And Skiri's like, oh, it's so good. And then everyone talks about corn nuts. And then we never get to the actual plug of the podcast. And then you go into a commercial or song and it was forgotten. So first of all, I don't know what promotion you're talking about that Elvis promoted the podcast. He did mention it, and I'm not faulting Elvis at all. It's just you made it seem like Elvis went on and on about the podcast, but you interrupted him when you're fucking corn nuts. So I get a DM.
Love corn, right.
But it's right. Love corn. So I get a DM from Love Corn in Instagram. It says, oh, David, we love you on the show. We're such fans. We're so happy with you mentioned us on the show Friday.
Wait a second. You didn't mention them. I mentioned
them. We'd love to send you all cases of Love Corn. Thank you so much. So I wrote back and I said, thanks. I'll take it. So they're sending me all this Love Corn. I sent you the message. You could see it.
I see it. I'm reading it.
They think I made the mention. So I'm getting all the Love Corn.
Hi,
so
David. You. Thank you for the plug on the morning show last week.
Yeah.
That was great. I would love to send you some samples to enjoy. Yeah. Let me know the best address to reach you. Uh-huh. Love, Missy, the co-founder of Love Corn. And then you wrote back, thank you so much.
Well, and I gave her my address.
Wait, you bastard. But it wasn't you. It was me that was trying to promote our podcast. And then I was chewing on the Love Corn. And then Elvis interrupted me. And then right. Elvis said, what are you chewing? I'm like, I'm eating love corn.
Right.
What right. the fuck?
Yeah, but you told my story on the air, so now I'll take your popcorn. We're even. The universe is in balance.
You're a bastard. You're a bastard.
With love corn.
Dude.
How about that?
The Brooklyn Boys Podcast. We will be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
So the question is, Scary, from before the commercials, what else can you mention on the air that I could use?
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's a great question.
Yeah, maybe talk about the new electric Dodge Charger coming out. Maybe I get one of those.
Yeah, yeah. That would. You know something, Brody? That'll actually go over really well. What else do you need? You need a new house?
No, I don't need a new house at the moment. I could use maybe a 75-inch TV. I'm in the market for a bigger TV.
You are a pig for electronics.
Oh my God.
You really are.
I've told you, I've said this before. We didn't have a lot of money growing up. My father was a police officer. He made, you know, a decent salary, good salary, but not like we never rich.
Middle class, blue collar family.
Right.
We grew up not too far from one another.
Some people bought fancy cars with whatever money they had, they saved up, yep, or fancy clothing, or went on expensive trips. We drove old shitty cars and didn't have expensive clothing, but my father would always buy the best VCR, the best stereo, the best TV he could find, he would save up for. And so we always had really good electronics. So even though the chair I was sitting in had rips in it, that TV was always the best.
You loved
it. So that's where my value system is skewed, because I love a good TV. I love a great TV. I go to Best Buy or Costco sometimes and I just stare. And I go, look at the 4K. And I know it's only the program they're showing that looks that good because it's on a loop. And when I get home, it's not going to look like that. But I still go,
I got to say, though, TVs have come such a long way so quickly. And the technology changes every year, less than a year. There's no friggin' way that a TV is ever worth the price you're paying. Because you're paying for the top model with all the latest bells and whistles. Now, 6 months later, that same screen that you have, that you've now mounted on your wall and is your prized possession, it drops to half the price And something newer has come out. You can't keep up with television technology. There's always something else.
But you can, like a phone, every few years you can upgrade. Look, when you buy a TV, you're stuck in that point in time, right? You buy the top of the line, most advanced television in 2023. Granted, someone like me, I'm not going to get a new TV for 5-6 years. So, but it's great technology. And then when the new technology comes down in price in 5 or 6 years, I'll consider getting a new TV.
My TV is stuck in 2017. That's my
TV. Yours is older, but not out of touch. It just,
no, it's not.
You don't have 4K. You don't have Ultra HD.
Ultra HD? You got that?
I have Ultra HD in one of my TVs.
And Dolby Atmos. I see that one a lot. Dolby,
that's a big one.
The sound.
Yep, that's the sound system. Yep.
Sons of bitches. You gotta get it.
Yeah, the last new TV I got with PC Richard and Son gift cards that I won from the sales team for doing something for them. They gave me gift cards. Mm. So I was able to get a TV from PC Richard and Son. And I got a good deal. So that was the last TV I got, which is like 5 years ago, I think, the one in my living room.
Hey, first of all, I want a shout out to the Slices in general.
Of course.
And then a fuck you to you, David Brody.
Oh, I don't like
in
that.
In the same sentence. Regarding my Halloween costume.
Oh, I wanted to bring that up.
No, let me bring this up. Because first of all, you know the debacle I went through with the costume, where it didn't come in time. I had to double order
and film yourself.
So it was the wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man. Wore it to work yesterday, and people were like, the Slices especially were like, dude, why are you so down on yourself? That's a great costume. I think you win Halloween. It was easily one of the best ones I've seen. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. I like that. That's very nice of you. And then I open up a DM from David Brody, and it's just one word. Terrible.
Terrible. Yeah. Terrible. Well, it was terrible.
Terrible. What was terrible about it?
We did a whole podcast last week where you said it was terrible.
I thought it was terrible, but you know, the beauty is in the eye of the slice.
Well, the Slices will be nice to you. That's not my job.
Why is it a terrible costume then? Because they were having me believe that it wasn't terrible after all. But now you just put me right back in there. And
you said it was pajamas. And when I saw it,
it looked like pajamas.
Right. At least. So your costume, you're pretending to be wacky waving inflatable tube flailing that guy. And so that guy is made of nylon and waves in the wind, right?
Yes.
So what they should have done was made the costume out of nylon, give you extended long arms, maybe with sticks in them or some kind of handle that you could wave your arms and have like long arms like the thing does. But instead, you look like a bad Human Torch comic character. You're in a red pajamas with a thing on your head, looks like flames. And everyone around you, Trevor had a great costume. Gandhi looked fantastic as the sumo wrestler. And you're like, hey, guys, I'm in my pajamas. So because you said it was bad, I was giving credence. Yeah. I was validating your feelings. See, that's the kind of guy I am. I validate your feelings.
Most people thought I was McDonald's French fries because it looked like French fries coming out of the yellow French fries looked out of the top.
And you also looked a little like a thin heat miser from the old Christmas shows.
Yes, I remember that. Well, anyway, I'm sitting...
Like, did people come to go, oh, yeah, you're a nacho fry.
So Deanna, who does our production, was looking at me on camera, and she thought it was French fries because it was the red McDonald's container with yellow fries hanging out. And she saw me behind the desk, and she saw S-A-L, and instead of E, she thought it was S-A-L-T, like salt, like fries, salt, I don't know. She thought it was French fries. You know what?
What was your
costume, David Brody? What did you dress up as?
I didn't dress up this year. Here's what I did do. I sold all my costumes from the previous years on Facebook. So I made a little money. I put out my giant inflatables outside my house, set them up, right? I got my one bag of Reese's peanut butter ghosts and goblins and bats from Target. Okay. And one person rang my doorbell at 6:15, dinner time, by the way, which I understand kids have to go to bed, but that's kind of tacky to ring someone's doorbell at 6 o'clock. Tacky.
What are you talking about? That's trick or treat time.
Dinner time. No.
Nope.
Anyway.
Wrong.
The one kid comes
wrong
to the door. I open the door. I hold my dogs back, and he's a little kid, and I don't know what kind of costume he was in. It looked like he was wearing a coat. Like I couldn't even, it wasn't even like a costume. I don't even know what he's wearing. And I go, hello. And he goes, trick or treat. And I go, absolutely. And I put the treat in his bag and he turns around and walks down the steps.
He didn't say thank you.
And his father's on my driveway and he goes, hey, thank you. He goes, thank you, sir. I go, yep. He goes, hey, Mikey, did you say thank you to the man? And Mikey puts his head down and the guy looks at me. He goes, did he say thank you? And I go,
Oh, you ratted him out.
So he goes, you say thank you to him. So he turns and he goes, thank you. And he walked away. So I had one trick or treater last night and I didn't get a thank you out of him originally. So I was 0-for-1, but I gave him the one. Now here's the thing though. I now have a 99% bag of Reese's peanut butter. Well, I should say 96%. I ate a couple last night of the Reese's peanut butter bats and goblins and whatever it is. So I only buy candy I'm going to eat because I know it's not going to go anywhere. So I live on a cul-de-sac.
I take exception with what you said earlier, that 6 o'clock trick-or-treating is tacky and it's dinner time. Trick-or-treating is anytime after school, 3 till like 9 p.m.
Yeah, come they don't by know, 4 or 5 o'clock.
They don't know what time you eat dinner. What if you're a senior citizen and you eat at 5 o'clock?
Please, everyone eats dinner around 6. Hey, 6 o'clock is dinner time.
Nah.
I wasn't upset about it. I just thought like, hey, I'm sitting down to eat. And I'm like, bing, bong, the door's going. I'm like, oh,
bing, bong.
Who's ringing my doorbell?
Fuck your life.
I didn't even remember it was
bing,
Halloween.
Bing,
bong. Yeah.
You are awful. I didn't have any trick-or-treaters. You know why? Because I didn't sign up.
Yeah, because you're in an apartment building. You have to sign up for that shit.
Yeah.
I went to our pharmacy. It was Walgreens, remember? Because everyone knows that the guy signed us up for Walgreens and then quit and went to work for Walgreens.
Yep.
So I went to get my prescription for something. And she goes, here you go. Happy Halloween. I'm like, this isn't candy. This is drugs. Can I get some candy? She's like, oh, no. All we have is prescriptions. Like, that's a bummer. That's a bummer. I said, so if I came up and said trick or treat, you give me medicine? She goes, no. Okay.
Should there be an age limit for trick-or-treating? I mean, when we were kids, we would dress up, and then we left. We stopped for a while, and we just do the shaving cream and bonk.
I feel like if you drive your own car to go to trick-or-treat, you're too old.
Yeah. Well, my buddy, Bald Freak Ronnie and my friend Scott Barnhill, they decided in college to just bring back the tradition that they remembered as teens, and they were like in college, and they were dressed like really fucking scary, and they would show up at 7... 8 o'clock
What's
at night.
What's his nickname? Is he Barney? What's his nickname?
Nah, didn't have one. Anyway.
Doesn't have a job?
The two of them got dressed up. The two of them got dressed up in like some creepy outfits and started ringing doorbells looking for candy. Trick
this
or treat.
Year?
No, this was several years ago, but they were well into their 20s. And they just thought it would be fun to as a throwback to let's just go trick or treating, relive their childhood. Well, that didn't go so well because people see two grown-ass men with no kids around them. You know, ringing the bell, they ain't getting no treats. They got nothing.
If I see two 25, 28-year-old guys coming to the door dressed like mass murderers, I feel like, no.
You wouldn't answer the door, right? Yeah.
No, because, if I want to see some kids with them, then I'd go, oh, the whole family's doing it. I get it.
Right.
But if it's two guys going, hey, trick or treat, well, open the door. I'm not doing that.
Well, they did. They tried.
We heard your podcast. We heard you got a nice TV. Open the fucking door.
It was an experiment. It failed.
Officer, we said trick or treat. We gave him a trick. We mugged him.
So you think by the time high school is over, so is trick or treating, or before that?
Mm. You know what? Slices are going to be all upset, and you guys can leave talkbacks and your opinion on this. But I feel like, 17. This should be like your last year.
Yeah. And even see that.
Like nowadays, I think 17-year-olds are too cool for that. I think. Most 17-year-olds are like, I'm not going to go out trick. That's for kids.
Yeah.
I think you set your own. I don't think there's an age limit. I think it's a maturity level, and I think it's your peers, what they're doing.
Right.
You know, and if they're hanging out at 7-Eleven or McDonald's or whatever, and that's what they do, you go hang out with them.
You heard about
how about trick-or-treating. You know.
Our boy Nate, straight Nate, he left the candy in a big thing right up front, said, you know, honor system, take one, whatever. He
no
wasn't
honor.
Home. Well, he looked on his ring camera or whatever that he had there and saw one little bastard, one little twerp, take the fucking bowl and dump the whole goddamn thing in his bag and ran.
Of course. And
he has it captured.
Yeah, but does he know who the kid is?
No, he doesn't know who the kid is. He goes, look at it. And he showed it to us today. It was actually very funny. So I said, look, if I could patent a new device, a new item, something, an invention, it would be something similar to... the device that you have when you have a dog or a cat and you have that little treat dispenser at home.
Yeah,
imagine one of those on your front porch when you're not home, and then you could say your trick or treat, you can see what it is, and start like shooting fucking candy at them. Like, patoof, patoof, patoof.
Yeah, then you hit some kid in the eye and he sues you.
That would be great though. Like a trick or treat, like a dispenser from like a remote dispenser from when you're not home. So the phone, so the doorbell rings. You see it on your phone, and you're like, huh, okay, all right, they look legit. They're in costume. Because, again, you don't give treats to people not in costume, right? And then you hit the button, boom, 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 and you spit three treats out at them. I think that will work. What do you think?
How about you get a fingerprint recognition system, and this way you can only get one. We put your finger on the thing, and each person can only get one. And then once you get your one, you're done. And it spits it out.
Well, see, I would give a couple, you know? I don't know. But anyway.
Well, maybe it's a little bag. Maybe it's a little bag. It spits out a bag of a couple.
All right. Yeah. Well, either way, something that's a controlled environment. The honor system ain't working. I don't know. You know, it works up until decides that they're going to be a schmuck.
I have this big Halloween bowl. And a couple of years ago, I bought like, you know, the multi-pack. It's like 10 different candies.
Yeah.
And you fill up the bowl and you don't know what they like. So you go out, you go, they go trick or treat, and you bring the bowl out. And you go, here, pick one. And they grab four. You know, now I don't care because no one else is coming to my house. They're probably only people coming. So I go, oh, it's fine. But if you tell them to pick one, they still go, I don't know, this one. And they fist that shit. They fist it.
They fist it.
They fist it.
Yeah.
No fisting.
No.
That's always been my motto, by the way.
No fisting?
No fisting.
Yeah.
No fisting. Not yours, though.
All right. Oh, by the way, speaking of costumes real quick, we were talking about the bad costumes. Do you remember the time that when we were kids, what our costumes looked like? Our costumes were not so intricate the way they are today.
No, it was a crappy plastic mask with a tight rubber band like thing that would snap on your head.
Yes,
and it had like a bib costume you'd wrap around and tie with little plastic ties.
It was like a smock, and there was the creepy eye holes from the mask.
Right. I found the Halloween costume in Halloween, the mask.
I found a picture of me and my friends all trick or treating. And we look creepy as fuck. All of us had these masks on. I had He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. This one had G.I. Joe. Someone had Wonder Woman.
Plastic against your face and your nose doesn't fit.
Right, and there's a little slit for the mouth. And all you see is our real eyes creeping through these plastic-ass masks.
Right.
That was fucking weird.
And then walking down the street, because I would go up and down my street. And this would be you walking down the street. You go, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh.
Because
the plastic would make noise. And then your mask, you go, in the mask because you couldn't breathe.
Yep.
But you couldn't take your mask off because your friends were like, put your mask back on because it's Halloween.
And I could still smell the polyurethane or whatever the hell, the vinyl.
Oh, the horrible that plastic. Awful, you knew you were going to die.
Dude, that stuff is in my nose forever. I know still, when you opened up that freaking costume, that box, you just know that smell, it's still in my nose. That's got to be toxic.
All right. It's the worst. People are definitely dying from that.
Yeah.
100%.
Costumes have come a long way. So I'll take my pajamas any day.
Yeah? Well, then you can have them because you look terrible. But at least you can breathe.
With Bodie and Scary.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more.
Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm going to Memphis tomorrow, Brody.
Going to Memphis to do what?
Yeah. I'll be walking in Memphis. People.
Thank you, Mark Hone.
No, I'm visiting St. Jude. Children's Research
trip.
Yeah, Children's Research Hospital. The show is sending me on my own. I'm going to meet up with some St. Jude people there, and I'm going to tour the campus. I'm going to see what happens there and all the magic that is St. Jude and all the miracles and everything they do for that's society. Awesome.
I have to say I'm slightly jealous because, you know, I actually had childhood cancer and they never sent me. So I'm jealous that you get to go because it's an amazing place.
Right.
That my mom always donated money to, you know, still is a place where she always donates money to. I'm jealous. So I want to hear all about it when you come back. They do amazing things. They're groundbreaking technology and advances in medicine.
And that's exactly why I'm going. Just they want to show me around. So this is their headquarters in Memphis. And then I'm going to have, a night out in Memphis by myself, which I know this. Well, I mean, forget about what to do there. I mean, we know that Elvis Presley, Graceland, Sun Records, where he recorded his,
We also have friends there, so that's good.
Who do we have there?
Ricky?
She's in Nashville.
Oh, that's right. She's not in Memphis. Oh, you're screwed.
I hear that Beale Street's pretty hot.
Okay, Marcone, again.
A lot's going on Beale Street. That's what I'm... this is what the songs tell me. I don't know.
Yeah, right. So you know one Marcone song about Memphis.
Yeah.
All right.
That's it. But, you know, I'm getting on a United flight. And I don't know if you know this, but United recently changed its policy back to what it experimented with during COVID, which I thought was left in COVID times for a reason, and got rid of it because it sucked. You know how they used to, it always was group 1 and 2 and then 3, 4, 5, wait till your group is called.
Totally stupid. The worst way to board a plane.
Okay. And then they went to the Wilma system, I call it Wilma, like Fred Flintstone, where during the pandemic, it was they board all window seats, then the middle seats, and then the aisle seats.
That makes sense.
All right. And then there were fights that broke out. So they abandoned that. They went back to their old school ways.
What kind of fights? You go in order so you don't have to climb over people.
Well, Brody, I guess you'd be happy to know that they're going back to their goddamn Wilma system.
Fantastic.
No.
Yes, this way the person in the middle doesn't have to back out of the aisle, block the aisle while the window person climbs in. Then everybody else has to
wait. This is going
to
cause fights because that means whether you're in row 2 or 22 or 32.
Yeah.
If I have an aisle seat, I'm fucked. That means everyone goes ahead of me.
That means everyone gets on the plane faster. Overall, for the greater good.
Do you know how many minutes it saves?
Everyone gets on faster.
There was a statistic. They said that the plane loads 2 minutes faster on average. 2 minutes. That's all you get.
If I don't have to stand in the aisle with my bag while somebody in the middle is standing so that the other window person can climb in and then put their bags up, I would rather just move.
No.
Hey, you know what? What's the fucking hurry sometimes?
Here's the problem.
Listen.
I got two words for you.
People are like, the aisle people are fucked.
Nope.
Well, guess what? The plane's not taking off till the plane takes off. It doesn't matter.
Overhead compartments. That's the problem. Because they run out of space.
Oh, no.
So all the window people and all the middle seat people are going to take all your shit. And if you're in the aisle, you're fucked. You're always going to have to gate check your bag. Always.
No. No, because they should, because there'll be an orderly system, they should orderly make sure that you pricks in row 22 don't put your fucking bags in row 2 or row 7. Put your, because you want to get my bag when I get off. No, don't, you don't beat the system. You have to put your bag above your head or go fuck yourself.
No, but
and
no,
then if it fills up, you ask permission, where can I put it?
You're not thinking this through. Because if all the window people and all the aisle people go first throughout the whole plane,
there's three carry-ons that fit in each overhead.
That's bullshit.
Each get a carry-on. You can fit three carry-ons in each overhead
if
bin.
If everybody brought a carry-on, there's no room for everybody. There's only room for 60%. Nope.
In each overhead.
There's only room for 60% of the goddamn plane. So okay. if 66% of the plane is loaded and now the aisle seat people get to go.
Fuck the aisle people. They get to get up and go to the bathroom anytime they want.
But aisle people choose to be aisle people for this reason.
That's what you get. And that's what you get.
Who's calling me? Is this United Airlines? Hello, I'd like to speak to somebody in customer service. I'm sorry, I'm getting angry.
Did you answer the phone or no?
No, I'm not going to answer it. So my question is, other people like on Southwest, they say that they load the plane from the back to the front. How do you feel about the back to the front?
As long as people don't put their bags,
they say in that the front, that's logical,
storage bins, and they sit in the back, I'm fine with it.
What's better, the back-to-front method or the Wilma method?
How about this? How about you do the back Wilma, then you do the middle Wilma, then you do the front Wilma. Get the best of both worlds. So you send the people in the back, windows back first, middle back first, aisle back first. Then you do the middle, window, aisle, middle aisle, whatever.
Anyway.
I would do a combination.
There's fights
but
on
stop
all-
putting your shit in other people's bins. No. That's my... Fuck the bin pushers.
And guess who's immune to all this?
Me, I don't fly that much.
You and first class.
Oh, I don't sit first class.
First class, class you, is loads normally.
Fergie. And
Jack Harlow.
Whoever the woman was in the Jack Harlow song that isn't Fergie.
Well, anyway, that sucks. Yeah. That really does suck. So
to be the woman in the Jack Harlow song and not get a lot of credit, that's got to suck.
I'm just saying, I think you should just do group 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the way it always was. Same as it ever was.
The front of the plane should never, ever, 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 ever go first. Never, because then everyone's going to walk through them.
But the people in the front, here's the thing, though. The people in
the
front.
The plane is the last ones off. The
people, in the front and the middle of the plane tend to be the more frequent flyers. Those are the people that should have the privileges.
They should be frequent sitting their ass in the terminal and wait.
No.
Like you said, it's 2 minutes. They can sit an extra 5 minutes. The plane's not taking off any sooner.
The overhead compartment space. It's about the overhead compartment space more than anything.
So the flight attendants should stand in the aisles and say, hey, your bag doesn't go there.
If I'm an aisle person in row 6.
It's anarchy.
If I'm a frequent flyer and I'm an aisle person in row 6, I'm fucked because I got to wait for everybody, like 70% of the plane to load before I get on.
But then when the plane lands, guess what? You get off first. It evens out. And what's better, getting on first or getting off first? Getting off first. Because then you get to go on your vacation. All right. On first, there's no benefit. The plane takes off the same time.
Case.
You lose.
You lose.
You lose.
You lose.
You lose. You get nothing.
Good day, sir.
Good day, sir. All right. What do you want to do? Want to do some sound?
If you want.
I'll rant next break?
Yeah.
Let me look at the sound list. You got Al Michaels?
I sure do.
Okay, so like this a couple of weeks ago. This is when Taylor Swift showed up at the Kansas City game. It was the second time she showed up, but I think it was the first time in Kansas City. And Al Michaels is trying to, because, you know, Al Michaels said it's not about Taylor Swift, it's about the game. And Al Michaels is old school. He's like 75 years old, 80. He's been calling games forever. He didn't have time for Taylor Swift. However, he did manage to put a reference in, but he didn't quite want to say who she was. It wasn't confirmed they were dating. And so he's listening to him tiptoe. And then finally he breaks down.
And of course, looking on is at the moment, his good buddy and girlfriend.
His good buddy and girlfriend.
Taylor Swift, he makes the cash. It's a game of three.
Yeah, he's like, so he, there, of course, is...
That's lame.
He's, like, he's his, you know, his, his good buddy. And then he breaks down and goes to girlfriend, I guess. Like, he was afraid to say it because it wasn't official.
All right. Whatever.
He didn't want any part of it. That's funny.
That's lame. All right, next. Rush Home.
All right.
Rush Home.
What?
Rush Home.
Rush Home.
Rush Home.
So this is a commercial for a medication. And the whole point of it is you get an injection to prevent your illness, which in this case is HIV. I'm not making fun of HIV. But he's like, you should get an injection. And listen to what he gets to avoid if he gets the injection.
Ooh, can't wait.
Two injections given by my healthcare provider every other month. It's really nice not to have to rush home and take a daily HIV pill.
Why do you have to rush home and take a pill? Can't you just take the pill with you?
You could.
Is the pill so large, it's like a brontosaurus burger from the Flintstones, it's too big for your pocket? Like, that's the selling point. Get an injection.
Yeah.
So you don't have to rush home and take a pill. That's bad advertising.
All right.
In my opinion. All right. You got breakfast taco?
I do.
This is Pete Davidson for Taco Bell.
Oh, yeah.
He describes the three ingredients in a breakfast taco with the exact same adjectives as every other person ever describes these three adjectives.
Okay.
Yeah, listen.
This taco at last. Fluffy eggs, melty cheese, savory sausage.
Yeah. Fluffy eggs, melty cheese, savory sausage.
What's wrong with that?
Is there nothing else you can say about eggs, sausage, and cheese than fluffy?
Those are the sizzle words. Those are the words that get the most reaction.
How about delicious eggs?
No, because because when I think eggs, I want to think I'm floating on a pillow like a cloud. I want fluffy. I want fluffy.
The first
eggs.
Thing you want, and melty. You want your cheese to be melty.
Yeah, melty.
What kind of cheese isn't melty? That in Taco Bell, it's all melty. It melts.
These are sizzle words. You're overanalyzing the situation, bro.
No, Brody. I just think Pete Davidson should have said, hey, can we come up with something better than savory, melty. And fluffy?
Fluffy?
When you go
savory.
To your breakfast station and you have your eggs made, do you say
I could say sizzling sausage, but then it would be like, oh my God, am I going to burn my tongue on that? No, savory is good.
Flavorful?
That's what's called alliteration. Alliteration.
Oh, so melty cheese? Is not alliteration.
No, savory sausage.
Yeah, but fluffy eggs isn't.
No.
Why is shrimp always succulent?
It's called alliteration. The first sound.
But why can't my sausage be succulent? Actually,
succulent
I have been told it is.
Is
your sausage succulent?
So many jokes with the succulent sausage. Hey.
But why can't my sausage be scrumptious?
Suck on my succulent sausage. What's next?
It's scrumptious. Okay. Life insurance. So the wife is telling the husband or the boyfriend about this life insurance. So she tells him what it is. He repeats it back to her, and then she acts surprised. Hey, listen.
Online with no complicated forms and no online. Medical exam. All they had to do was answer a few health questions.
Wait, no medical exam and all online?
I know, right?
What, is he deaf?
No, but she goes, I know, right? What do you mean? You just told
you
him
just,
that.
Oh, you just told me that. Right. I
and
know,
he
right?
He repeats it, and she goes, I know, right?
It's dumb. This is dumb because for several, there's several layers of idiot.
Yeah, play again.
Idiots here.
No complicated forms and no medical exam. All they had to do was answer a few health questions.
Wait, no medical exam and all online?
I know, right?
So basically, first of all, he says, wait.
Yeah.
He repeats her verbatim, so he heard the whole fucking thing. So why did he have to reconfirm it?
And then she says, I know, right? We know you know. You just told him.
I know, right?
And then she tells him he's right because he repeated what she said. Someone got paid for that commercial.
Awful. All right. That's a DoorDash cream.
Oh, okay. You know the Wu-Tang Clan song, Cream?
Yes.
What does Cream stand for? Do you remember?
Wait, Cream? Wait, which song are we talking about?
C-R-E-A-M. I'll play the clip. Hold on.
Cream.
Okay. Cash rules everything around me.
Yeah.
Right? That's what Cream stands for. Cash rules everything around me.
Yep.
So there's a commercial of a DoorDash with this man of color. I don't know who he is. I don't think anyone's famous.
That would be black.
He's black, yep. And he says,
this man of color. Okay.
Well, I don't remember offhand top of my head. Anyway, so he pulls out, they're trying to promote food.
Right.
The DoorDash, you can get groceries. So he pulls out a cream and he goes, yeah, the best cream's always in the back. And his Asian girl goes, yeah, cream. Cash rules everything around. Play the clip.
Okay. All right.
Let's have a clip?
Yep. I got it. Yep.
This is cream always in the back.
This cream rules everything around.
Because cream rolls everything around.
No, rules, R-U-L-E-S.
Rules everything around. Let me try it again. Hold
but the song is cream rules everything around me. That's why it spells cream.
Oh, she's trying.
So she spelled Cree.
Yeah, she's, yeah. They're banking
the whole points to reference the Wu-Tang Clan song.
Well, they're banking on the fact that nobody will remember the original, like me. Like, I didn't know that. I never heard that before.
It's a great song. But let me ask you a question. Do you think she couldn't say the M because they would have copyright infringement?
I don't know.
If she said Cash Rules Everything Around Me? If you're a Wu-Tang Clan fan, you know the song.
Then you know
you're not a Clan fan?
I'm not a Clan fan.
From Staten Island?
Gotta be honest. I'm from Brooklyn. Remember that?
All right.
Look at the title of this podcast. And we finally have life insurance. Did we do that? No.
You played the life insurance.
Rush Home? I think we got them all.
I know. Yeah, I know, right?
I know. Right? Rush Home?
Right?
Okay. All right. All right. We'll get to a quick bake. A quick bake?
Dude, a quick bake.
I feel like I'm baked. I feel like I...
It's the Brooklyn Boys Podcast.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Listen, they all can't be home runs, but I thought a couple of them were interesting.
It's fine, Brody. It's
okay. All right, I have a dilemma from Facebook Marketplace. So I was selling an old exercise bike of mine because I don't use it. Nobody uses it. I got it from my kids. They didn't use it, so I'm selling it. So I went on Facebook to see what other people are selling theirs for, the same model.
Yep.
And this one guy is selling it for $10.
Ooh.
$10. Mm-hmm. In excellent condition. And the thing's worth like $150. So I read the description to see if it's damaged or broken. And he says, this was my uncle's. He used it until he died. So I'm only selling it for $10 so that I know it'll go to somebody who'll use it and won't sell it because they're only going to pay $10 for it. What are your thoughts on that before I give you mine?
That's a scam.
It's not a scam.
Or it's broken. Something's wrong with it. Why would you sell it for $10?
Okay, the conversation between you and me right now is the debate as to why this makes or doesn't make sense, not if it's a scam.
Okay.
He's saying the reason I'm not asking $150
yeah.
is I want someone who's going to buy it and own it and use it and not try to resell it. So here's my theory, since you're a little confused. It'll make more sense. If you sell it for $10, I'm going to buy it and resell it. If you sell it for $150, I'm only going to buy it if I want it. His logic is backwards. Backwards. So
my mind immediately goes to, Wow, it is a steal. For $10, I'm going to get this bike.
I'll buy it and resell it.
No, I don't think about the second part of that. Because I'm not a shyster like you, Brody.
So you're going to buy it for yourself and never use it?
Why? Well,
so your thought is,
if I'm in, okay, first of all, if I'm in the market, okay, if I'm looking on Facebook Marketplace and I'm typing in search for a bicycle, that's because I actually want one. Why would I write bicycle and come across your post if I didn't want a bicycle?
Because you might be searching for exercise equipment, right? And then exercise bike comes up.
And say, like, $10.
Oh, $10. I can get $150 for that. So you're more likely to have somebody.
I don't think about flipping things like that. Only houses, right, only real estate.
But if someone's going to flip it, are you more likely to flip it if it only costs you $10
I see your logic.
You get $74, you made $60.
Right.
I could have somebody meet me at his house. I buy it for $10 and hand it right to him for $70. Here you go. And make money. And then they can go sell it for $150. No one's using this guy's old man bike.
King of the grape soda, David Brody. No, I understand what you're doing. You're trying to.
This is your talk back. Does $10 make it more likely or less likely that someone's going to buy it and resell it? What would you do? If you saw a $150 bike for $10, you'd buy it and resell it.
All the opportunists like yourself are going to obviously say they're going to do that. But most people don't want that. They don't want to go through that headache.
Most people in this country, you think, don't want to make $140 profit to do no work other than picking it up and then reselling it.
It's just my mind wouldn't go there. See how I didn't? That's why I didn't understand what you're talking about. So like, all right, I'll buy it for $10.
Someone's going to buy it for $10 and keep it. No, you know what they're going to do? They're going to go $10, even if they bring it home, Scary. They're going to buy it for $10 and go, I'm not going to use an exercise bike. I only paid $10 for it. I'll sell it for $80. I'll sell for $70.
Well, that's a year later. But the initial intent will be like, I need an exercise bike and this is a bargain.
No, he's charge $100, then charge $100 for it, $120. So then the effort's not really there to resell it. You're like, oh, it's $120. I can make $30. It's not worth the effort. But if you give me it for $10, I'm selling that shit.
That's you.
It's too easy.
I don't think most people.
I don't mean me. I mean me like, you know, my
personality. I don't think most people would think that way.
Slices, you know you'd buy it and listen, you might buy it and keep it, but odds are there's more people that are going to buy it and sell it.
I think the opposite of that. Who's going through the trouble?
Scary, if I have a car that's worth $5,000, and I say, I'm going to sell it for $500 because I want someone to own it. I don't want them to give it away or resell it. You don't think someone's going to come to my house, buy that car for $500 and sell it for $4,000 a day later if it's worth $5,000?
No, I think somebody who honestly needs a car that can't afford one is going to be like, ooh, a bargain, and keep the $500 car. I don't think people have enough time in the day. How much free time do you have? Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I've got plenty of time, bro.
Well, that's you, bro. I'm looking for maybe there are people, let me rephrase. Maybe there are people out there that this is what they do. This is their day job, right? They scour the internet for great deals.
It's not about scouring. If you're just looking and you come flipping across things, flipping an expensive thing for $10. Look, my point is the guy's thought process right or wrong?
Let's say it's a Super Mario Brothers lamp that's been out of style, out of print for frigging.
Right. But that's a production for
years.
Item.
Out of production for years.
Right.
And I know it's worth on the internet. I know I've seen it on eBay before for $200. And someone's going to offer me selling it for $50. But I'm a Mario collector who's looking for that. I'm like, shit, there it is. The lamp from my childhood. I'm going to buy it and I'm going to keep it. I'm like, yes, I got it for $50.
Right.
My mind doesn't go to
a collector's item bike.
Market value.
An exercise bike.
No, market
nobody's
value.
Looking for an exercise bike the whole life and I got to have that model.
Market value of this item $10. Is $250. I'm going to make a profit. Because what do you care about more? You care about the collectible?
You're talking about a collectible that was part of your childhood. You're talking about a specific item. Terrible analogy. Terrible. That's the second worst analogy I've seen this week.
What was the first
second
one?
Second worst. I'm in a Jets fan group on Facebook.
Oh, here we go.
And a guy said, rooting against Zach Wilson, the Jets quarterback, is like rooting, because he's on your quarterback for your team, is the same as rooting for your pilot to fail on a plane. You're rooting against your best interest. And my point was to that guy was, if you root against the pilot, your plane's going to hit a mountain and everyone on the plane's going to die. If you root against a quarterback, your team's going to get a better draft pick. You don't play for the team. You don't win or lose with the team. You watch a team. You have no vested interest in a football team, except you like watching their uniforms run around the field.
Yeah.
That was his analogy.
My analogy is not nearly as bad. My analogy makes sense.
That's why yours is second worst.
No.
Second worst. Mario Lamp, right below, rooting for a quarterback is the same as rooting
exercise
for a
pilot bike. Exercise bike. So you need it. You need to work out. You need to lose weight. You're in the market for one. I find it for $10. Score. I got a deal. And I have a story
for a profit. $10. Score.
But nobody, not a lot of people think that way.
You live in America. Have you walked around the streets?
Dude, we are.
Have you met Americans?
Okay, we're capitalists at heart. Yes. I get it. Yes, we are. Yes, as am I. I'm a very big capitalist. I raise the capitalist flag and wave it from my fucking roof.
Please. How much did you pay for that flag?
Not as much as they paid for this electronic equipment.
That's right. So what if I had a microphone for your home system?
Yeah.
Right? But you already have a microphone.
Yes.
And you can get another one for $10 and it's worth $280. Would you buy it and keep it?
Yes.
Would you buy it and sell it? You'd sell it. You don't need it.
I would not sell it.
You'd buy it for $10 and just keep it as a backup. And your girlfriend says to you, you know, we could go to a really nice dinner for that much money. We can go to two dinners for that much money. You should sell the microphone.
I guess I'm not that much of an entrepreneur. I'm not that much of an opportunist. I don't know. That's not me.
You have too much
cash. That's not the way I'm built.
Oh, okay. What? How about this? How about you buy the microphone for $10 and the guy who is the owner of your favorite restaurant wants to start a podcast. He says, Skeery, if you give me that microphone, I'll give you a $300 meal. We'll make anything you and Robin want. Just give me the microphone.
Yeah.
And you say, no, I'm going to give you $300. He goes, no, just give me the microphone. Let me pay $10 for it. Oh. What would you do?
I don't know.
Give him the microphone.
No, I wouldn't.
You liar. You're smiling. You're lying.
Son of a bitch.
Hit the jingle or something.
With Skeery and Brody.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, yeah. Listen, we have some talkbacks. So we want to go through some of these?
Yeah, let's go through that. Yeah, and remember, your talkbacks for next week, your assignment, what were the two assignments? One was the $10 thing, and there was another assignment. I don't remember what it was. You guys remember. You just listened.
Hey, Brody and Scary. Scary and Brody. This is Lisa from the real upstate New York. Calling in about episode 273 and Scary's oogling over Olivia Rodrigo. As a mature woman, you know what that means, we don't get so blatantly sexual about our oogling. We might say, what I wouldn't give to be 30 years younger.
She's right. So a woman, in other words, a woman would say, God, I wish I was younger so I could date that guy. But they don't say, I would like to date him now at my current age. That's her opinion. It doesn't speak for all women, but that's an angle.
Oh, I think I'm being recorded again. I don't know. Oh, this is MJ again from NJ. Facebook Marketplace sucks. I placed an ad for a friend, and they wanted a code to make sure I'm real. They're not real. Fuck.
Never give
Facebook
the code.
Marketplace.
The code is a scam.
Thank you. You guys crack me up.
Never give the code. The code is a scam. Don't do that.
What do you mean? She can't hear
Facebook
you, by the way.
You don't give the code. She'll hear me when she hears this.
What code? What's the code?
You don't. They text you a code. You give the code back. Don't give out your information. Don't get the code.
What code? What do you mean? Explain
it. The scammer sends you a code, either in an email or a text message.
Yeah.
They want a code to verify that you're legit. But then they have your information once you get the code. Don't do the code thing. It's a scam.
So don't respond to the code.
Yeah. If they say, I want to give you a code, no. Don't give them a code. Don't tell them your code. No codes.
Okay.
No codes. Thanks,
okay,
Pearl Jam.
Okay, this is MJ from NJ again. Just to make a comment, I missed Juan Valdez on the talkbacks. I don't know what happened. I know people are also pretending they're him. And that guy that's on the tractor trailer, whatever the hell he's on, some kind of southern guy. Oh, I can't. I couldn't stop laughing. Oh, my God. And also the lady about the dandy that wanted... in Facebook or something. I couldn't stop laughing. Thank you, guys.
All right. You got it.
Brooklyn boys, your boy DJ here from South Jersey, and it's always Brody and Scary. Ain't that right, Valdez? I just got to quickly say that I think we heard in the last episode that Scary actually started doing his laundry because of the rain. Does that mean you had to empty out your washer and dryer to do so, or did you go somewhere and do it? We all need to know.
Wow.
Or did you wash your clothes with the crap still in it?
Keeping track. No, I actually emptied it out, did a load, if you know what I'm saying. And then I went back.
Did you put all the crap back in?
Yeah. Put it back in.
Nice.
Okay, this is MJ from NJ again. Just to make a comment, I missed Juan Valdez.
Oh, no. Wait, no, we did that already.
Welcome, boys. This is DJ from South Jersey again. And it's always Brody and Scary. This is in reference to episode 266, that's like kind of way back, but I must have never listened to it. But in reference to Scary talking about bathroom etiquette with urinals, totally with you, bro. Like, everybody's known since at least middle school that you never go to the male urinal.
Never.
Like, what you doing, guy?
Exactly.
DJ, again, I didn't finish my thought.
Okay.
But yeah, obviously, mineral urinal, never cool, dude. About the candy that the guy is offering, kind of sketchy. I mean, like, yeah, it might be in like a wrapper or something, but you could run the risk of like
bathroom candy,
you know, charticle matter, like on the wrapper, yeah. And then like you
yes,
still touching.
Yes, I said that many episodes ago.
So like,
yeah,
I would probably have to pass.
Pass on the bathroom candy. No hard mint.
Hey, Brody, Scary, Trevor from Austin, Texas here. Scary, I just wanted to reference something on the last callbacks. You mentioned to somebody that you don't go to water parks because you don't have any kids. But I was thinking, you know, if you could hook up a date with Olivia Rodrigo, then I think she would love to go.
That's right. She counts as a kid.
Hey there, fellas. This is Gil here from Texas.
He's back.
You know, I don't find anything wrong with Scary having a crush on that little filly. Steven Tyler and Mick Jagger, they hook up with young chicks all the time. Nobody gives them any crap over that. But I'll tell you what, your girl Robin might have a problem with that. And you might end up trying to S your own D all over again. Be careful there, my bushy buddy.
Okay, why can't that guy Juan Valdez us and call him 3-4 times?
Hey there, fellas. It's me again. I'm sorry, but I just had to come and back on here and say something. I know, I wish everybody would just leave Wham Bowl Death alone. He's a good guy. He's got a right to come on here and say whatever he's got to say. He's one of the original commenters on this program ever since I can remember. So just give him a break, man. Come on. And even leave Nick the Dick alone. He's a good guy, too. He's just a dick.
He's just a dick.
Scary. Just for the record, 52-year-old mother from Ohio. And guess what? I know who David Kushner is. And I'm a slut for life. So go figure.
Okay, I don't know what the hell's going on there.
Okay, so she's got a steam leak or she just popped the balloon and it's leaking. She said she's 52 years old from Ohio and she knows who David Kushner is. So bravo to you.
Okay, we got one, finally.
Yeah, okay.
Good morning, Brooklyn boys, or good evening. This is Nick.
Nick,
I know a lot of people want to curse at me. Go ahead, keep cursing, waste your health on some bullshit. You will never even fucking see me. I mean, I love y'all. Anyways, so the whole Paranormal Activity episode, you know, Brody, don't poo-poo on Scary's adventures.
Thank you.
I boo-boo.
You sit in your mansion and shit and hate that Scary flies and travels somewhere and whatnot.
Continued. Wait.
All right, this is part two by Nick. Yeah, Brody, I get it. I totally get it, dude. You will never go to, on a ghost tour and whatnot. But don't just listen. Let the man have fun.
Thank you.
Yeah, he bought a $50 ticket or $70 ticket or whatever.
100.
Yeah, because he earned that ticket. He works his ass off.
Thank you.
And by the way, whale watching is a real fucking thing. I live in Washington State, and it's real.
I like this guy. He's a part.
Whale watching. He's a part three in the Washington State, and it was great.
I like Nick.
Whales Brody, covering exist. Your whale watching comment. So if you ever will come to Washington State, particularly Western Washington, you are guaranteed to see whales. And if you will not see the whales, the company will actually give you a credit so you can come back tomorrow or another day and go for free. They're not going to charge you twice. And also, shout out to Mr. Scary for standing his ground and not going to the stupid wedding without his lady.
There you go.
Kudos for that.
Thank you.
I got to address what Nick said. I don't remember saying that whale watching was a problem because I went whale watching. I talked about how my captain knew where they were, and they came right up to the ship. We had a great time whale watching in Seattle. In Alaska. Sorry, not in Seattle. We left from Seattle. But here's the thing about the guarantee. First of all, you can't guarantee I'll see whales, but if I don't, you'll take me tomorrow. That's not a guarantee. That's a warranty. If you guarantee, then we're staying out there until I see my whales. If you can't say you will guarantee, but you might not. Second of all, odds are I'm getting back on the cruise ship and I can't come back the next day. I don't have time for that. So that's a great guarantee. Oh yeah, if you come back to the moon tomorrow, well you'll see aliens. I'm sorry you didn't see them today. No,
that's not a guarantee. Those ghost house is as real as you believe.
Thank you.
And your friend with her heart racing, that means she was fucking scared. When you're scared, your heart race. Remember that? Scary. I'm with Brody, man. That shit is bullshit.
No!
Don't believe that. Jamaica Rasta Bacon.
We're talking about... hopefully you listen in order and you're getting all these inside jokes here and these references. But I went to a haunted house and they told a ghost story and it was real. And real things happened in this house.
The story was real. The story wasn't real.
No, the story was real. All these things happened.
The soldier walks around the hallway in the red light.
It's the most haunted house... In all of where did I go?
That
Savannah.
Street.
Savannah.
Hey, Brooklyn boys. This is Brandon from Atlanta. I'm listening to the Scary and you joke about doing a video podcast, and I usually side with you, Brody, but I think it'd be cool if you guys went to like a video format, maybe uploaded them to YouTube or something.
Yes.
I only listen to the podcast when I'm in my car, but I watch YouTube like all the time on my computer, so I think it'd be cool to have like a video format, see you guys on there. I'd definitely listen to you, and I think it'd be cool to expand maybe your audience on YouTube too.
What if we just did an idea. Brooklyn Boys Live? We could do Brooklyn Boys Live on video, and that we could be like taping a live podcast. We could figure that out.
Or here's the thought. Yeah. Next call.
Oh, you're such a fun sucker. You're a fun sucker, David Brody.
Are you saying I S my own F?
Yes. You're a fun sucker.
So I asked my own F.
What's up, boys? It's T. White, the owner of Scary's $1.74 million recording equipment. Had to jump over to the iHeartRadio app just to say how hilarious it is that Scary referred to Olivia Rodrigo as relatable. How is she relatable to you, bro? She can't even get bottle service with the sparkler at the club.
That's right. She's underage. He raises a fair point. By the way, thank you for taking my 1.57 gigawatt equipment off of my hands. He bought my original Rodecaster Pro, the one we did the first 150 episodes on. So
yeah,
there you go.
There you go.
He wasn't using it there because the quality was not up to par. I was hoping that you would leave the talk back through the microphone that you were on through the Rodecaster. Show everybody how cool that was. Anyway, all right. Ooh. The fuck was that?
Hey guys, Slice for Life, Garen here from Harrisburg, PA. Everybody's still talking about this whole $1.06 thing, and I don't think anybody has said. Everybody's saying, yeah, it's just $1.06, Brody, come on. But if you see a dollar laying on the sidewalk, are you going to walk past it, or are you going to pick it up?
That's what
I thought.
I'm picking up the 6 cents, too.
No. But the $1.06 is in a different format.
If I had $1.06, I'm almost all the way there. I'm a tenth the way there to buy an exercise bike.
Hi, guys. Emily in Connecticut here.
What up?
I don't think there is a right answer to the conundrum Brody has with the French speaker on Facebook. I think whoever wants it more is going to adjust. Does Brody want to make the sale really bad? He'll translate. Nope. And does the guy really want to buy it really bad? He'll translate.
Yeah, see, I really wanted to sell it, but I'm also arrogant and an egomaniac when it comes to these things, and I was not going to lose to him. So I lost the sale, but I sold it to somebody else. So, meh. Sacre bleu.
Hi, Brody and Scary. It's Michelle from Virginia. I'm about an hour away from Big Herm. I live in Williamsburg, Virginia. I'm calling about the wedding invite. Scary, did you ever stop to think that you didn't get a plus one for Robin because they really didn't want you to come? Because that's kind of what it seems like to me. Keep up the great work, guys.
No.
I'm a slice for life. Thanks for all
you
do.
Well, that means you were right, Scary. That means you shouldn't go without a date. She's sort of agreeing with you.
Yes.
She's saying it makes sense not to go.
She's saying that they didn't want me there in the first place. I'm going to go with no on that, only because I know these people well.
Well, that's your theory.
Well, yeah. I never did anything. And they know that I come correct with a big gift. So why wouldn't they want me there? If anything, true. I would weed out the Brodies in the room.
I give a nice gift, and I don't wait till I get there to write the check.
Slice of Life, Newton. I was going to leave a talk back when I heard about Elvis bringing up the $1.06 on Brooklyn Boys episode 271, but Scary already brought it up. All right. Just sending out my love to you guys. Have a good day, guys.
Love you, too. Feel free to check in.
Brooklyn Boys, this is Nick, the one and only. Hey, this is regarding episode 274. I didn't even
get out of the shower
listening yet, but Scary Jones, for the love of God, my man, I'm not a small person either. Please, don't do inflatable costumes. Even if Robin really wants it, or it's kind of like a matching game or whatnot, whatever the case is, don't do it, bro. Just don't do it. Do anything else, please.
Well, it wasn't inflatable. I was the inflatable wacky. It was more like pajama material, but it was the wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man. I was imitating an inflatable costume.
Yeah, and the actual inflatable one is skinny. When you see a car dealership, they're tall and skinny. What he's saying is fourth quarter Scary shouldn't wear an inflatable, like a big, like a sumo.
Or that he thinks it's not sexy. He's looking for something more manly, you know, or something more.
No,
that,
he's saying, he said, I'm a big man, meaning don't wear a big costume if you're already not a thin, you know, bony person.
Should I have been a sumo wrestler then?
No, he's saying don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do wear puffy costumes because you're already puffy. Not
but it
you,
hides but
he's
the
saying,
puffiness. Well, makes me look better if you think about it. It's a reverse psychology. I disagree with that.
Okay,
hey, this is
fair enough.
Regarding episode 274. So once again, don't do this whole inflatable costume.
Okay.
And it's not because you're third quarter Scary or
close the phone
is there and you're not doing your doctor's battles till January, February, whatever. Just like us, you know, people who are not small or super thin or super athletic, we have our limits, and we got to take advantage of other customs. Be a fucking Dracula or some shit. Come on.
I saw Guy Fieri. I wanted to be Guy Fieri. I could pull that. I could rock that.
I'm starting to agree with you, Scary. If you're Count Facula, then it's going to be like, oh, look, he's a fat vampire. Not you, but like this guy is saying fat people shouldn't be they should be Dracula. But then you're going to obviously be a bigger Dracula. But if you play a sumu, you're going to look smaller than the costume.
That's what I was saying. Nobody, don't you understand my logic?
I see your side now. Yeah, I see your side.
No, Scary. Back off. This is an English speaking country. I had to learn English when I came to this country. So should everybody else. If you're going to reply to an English speaking post, speak English. Initiate English.
Okay?
I figured it out from there. Nah. Okay. Brody, you need to speak English to you. Whether he's translating or he's trying, you need to speak English. I have to learn that.
All right. Okay. All right.
I'm no dandy baby.
We disagree, but okay.
Brooklyn boys, this is Nick, your biggest fan and previously a resident of Bensonhurst, Brooklyn.
Yeah.
But listen, nice. I'm on your side, Scary Jones. I'm on your side.
You're my boy.
Calm
the heck down.
Okay? You did the right thing by not going to that crappy wedding.
Thank you.
I don't care how many fucking levels of and how many floors of cake they're going to have there.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
Part two I don't give a shit about what kind of chocolate tower they're gonna have or a fucking giant cake.
You made your point.
Thank you. Fuck that wedding, bro. Exactly. Just fuck that wedding. Yeah. They're not your real true friends.
Right.
Yeah, I know you already heard that. Just wanted to reiterate that.
Yeah.
And also Olivia Rodrigo, she's pretty young, man. You gotta be careful about those things because we live in a really strange society. Wait for part three. Don't hang up.
Oh my
God. Hey guys, how you doing?
Oh, this guy jumped in the middle of it.
I was on your side with that whole Olivia Rodrigo thing for a while. But now that I saw that Apple commercial you've been talking about, even though she's 20, she looks more like she's 15 or 16. Boy, you are one sick puppy, I tell you what. I'm starting to see a pattern forming here. Episode number 37 comes back to mind. If you were here in Texas, we'd string you up by your toes and horsewhip you till the cows came home.
Did he just jump in the middle of that other guy's part three?
Wait a minute. Before you play the next call, Nick from Bensonhurst said, I'll be right back with part three to talk about Olivia Rodrigo.
And then the Southern trucker came in.
Now, is Nick the trucker?
No, they're different people. No.
Well, let's see if the next one's Nick.
Yes, part three.
It is.
No, okay. Listen, we strive to have gender equality, yada, yada. Great. But there are things that people are still are like fucking conservative as fuck. So, yeah, you saying that you all have crush on a 20-year-old chick and you are almost 50. Sorry, my man, you are almost 50. That's fine. Live your best life. But yeah, you got to be a little bit cautious, dude.
Thank you. Be cautious. Thank you. You've made your point, Nick. Appreciate you.
What does be cautious mean? Don't let the cops find out? What does that mean?
Be cautious. No, just think
make
about
make sure you're in a state that allows that shit.
Think before you feel.
There are states scary, you can get mad like 14, 15.
Scary, I'm sorry, but you're wrong. Regarding the French guy on Facebook Marketplace, this English-speaking country should make every attempt to translate the English or speak English. We shouldn't have to downgrade. I mean, feel free to talk whatever language you want, but you should make an attempt.
How is it a downgrade if you're talking another language?
In other words, don't accept that he's not speaking English. Right. Don't lower your standards is what he's saying. It's not what I'm saying. But anyway.
Also, Scary, not all customers are right. Some are just assholes. Don't go putting this in people's heads. That is why we have so many Karens in this world that think that they are privileged. If Brody wants to bitch and complain, let him. It's his $1.06.
Ah, thank you. All right. Fair enough.
Thank you.
The customer's not always right according to that one. All right. Oh, my God.
But I was.
We got to get through these.
Also, Brody does not have to sell to the French guy. I'm sure he has a lot of other customers that will gladly ask him in English.
Fair enough.
If the item is still available.
You're right. Okay.
Jersey, in regards to episode 273, Scary, you talked about having a crush on Olivia Rodrigo. I can relate. I'm 56 and in love with a 26-year-old who I think is incredibly hot, and most of my camera roll is pictures of him. But I think it's just enjoying the eye candy, you know?
All right. She continues.
I'm in your corner on this.
Yep.
That woman, Renee, talked about how she's 56 and thought it was creepy, and she didn't know any woman who did that. Well, guess what? There are women like that, and I don't think it's creepy at all. If a 20-year-old guy hit on me, I'd be flattered, just saying. You can fantasize all you want, Scary. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm sure there are many people like us. I'm with you on this, but some things are better left unsaid sometimes.
Well,
and get this, Scary. He's a paranormal investigator. Go figure, right? Love you guys. Life for life.
All right. There you go. Some things are better left unsaid, but then we'd have a boring podcast if I didn't say
it. And she's investigating the investigator.
Exactly.
Brooklyn boys, Andrew from upstate New York, you know, the guy that told Juan Valdez, fuck you. I just wanted to say that episode 273 wasn't my favorite.
Okay.
Was one of more disappointing episodes.
Fair enough.
But anyways, the best part about it was Juan Valdez didn't speak on it, so I'm glad that we can have the Brooklyn boys back without featuring Juan Valdez. So hopefully that continues. Keep up the...
Brody, Chris Estefano has a podcast with Salvacano. It's called Hey Babe.
Yep.
Don't you said don't tweet me. You didn't say don't talk back to me.
Dang. I thought Brooklyn boys were solid, man. I noticed that none of my two controversial top backs were played.
Which ones? We
so played. You guys are filtering the top backs. It's not just being played.
No, we're not.
Huh.
Some of them come up
still
as
love you guys,
some of them come up as error messages.
Yeah, some
of
them don't have audio.
Boys, it's Elijah here.
We love you, Juan.
First time leaving a comment. I don't really have a social media presence, that's why you really haven't ever seen me. But I just had to comment on your guys's or commentary on people when they're leaving talkbacks. It kills me every time. It's so freaking funny. I love it. Keep up the good work. Slice for life.
All right. Thanks for that.
If you love commentary on talkbacks, then you'll love this. Guises is not a word. There's my commentary.
Guises.
Brody Scary, Scary Brody, Heather Conroy, Conroy Heather here from South Plainfield, New Jersey. Just want to say how much I freaking love you guys, and I'm finally caught up on all the podcasts.
Yeah.
Brody, yes. Just want to give you a major shout out and props because you have helped me get free dessert so many times.
Boom.
I can't tell you how much I've impressed my husband with this, and I say David Brody taught me this because even is not even.
Free dessert.
Thanks, guys. Love you so much. Slice for life.
Woo!
Damn right. Hey, you know, we still have an email, brooklynboyspodcast@gmail.com. Send me your free dessert stories. I'd love to read them.
Thebrooklynboyspodcast@gmail.com.
That's what I said.
Scary Brody, Brody Scary. I believe it was 183 or 184 where you guys had a different intro song. When is that going to come back? Or all that, or just bullshit? Since somebody, Scary, doesn't want to be recording episodes before he goes on vacay. Would that ever come back? Or again, bullshit or not?
This guy's taking advantage of legalized weed. I have no idea.
Is he talking about the boys are back in town that we play sometimes?
Yeah, we play that. All right.
But we still play it.
Yeah. Oh, maybe it was the WAP one. It was the Cardi B one.
Which one was that?
We did a Cardi B intro. All right.
We did?
Here's our last one.
Hey, what's going on, Brooklyn boys? Michael from Dayton or Miamisburg, either way. This is in reference to 274, I believe. You guys are talking about math and equations and what you need. I agree with Scary on this one, which is a rarity. But after geometry, I don't see a point. Even though he was stopping at geometry, I'm a carpenter and a home builder, so I use geometry a lot. But anything past that, I think is a waste of time.
Waste of time. Thank you so much. All right, we appreciate it. Yeah. All right. I like this episode, Brody. Very nice.
I hope it's better than 273, which is the ghost episode.
I feel fulfilled. Do you feel fulfilled? You're going to go back and analyze what was wrong with that podcast. That guy gave you a complex, didn't he?
We were talking about ghosts the whole time.
Yeah.
Brooklyn! The voice from Brooklyn! Brooklyn! The voice! Brooklyn!
open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.